Amen. There's something that happens that's a very important part of our life called connection. Amen. For you fathers out there, for you mothers, everybody. Connection's very important. If we go into a prison and we haven't connected with them, they're not going to receive what we have to offer. We can connect in many different ways. But that song is a song that actually makes us connect. And a relationship is something that Jesus wants with you. Amen? If you read your Bible and you start digging in deeper, God created you for a relationship. Amen? And a relationship takes a yes on both sides. You didn't have to do that. I simply asked you to do it, but you could have just said, no, I'm not going to participate. And maybe somebody did, but that's your choice. But to experience the whole thing that happened, everybody starts smiling and everybody starts to connect and paying attention to what they're doing and back and forth. You're doing it together as a group. To enjoy the benefits of that simple connection and relationship, we had to say yes. Amen? And sometimes in prison, we do that song and guys will come up later and say, I forgot I was in prison for a couple minutes. Really? All we did was sing a little song. You know what happened? We started to connect. And relationships were started to be formed. And they were able to remove themselves from that and experience a little bit of joy, right? A little bit of togetherness and a little bit of joy. It's a great way to transition on the inside and on the outside into the connection that we need with God. Now, it's Father's Day. It's an exciting time. And if you're a father here today, if you're not a father and aspiring to be a father, or maybe you're a man and you're just leading, God wants to talk to you and he wants to talk to the women too. But this morning, I'm primarily going to be talking to fathers. And the rest of you can glean something from this as well. I really enjoy some of the Chosen series and different things, biblical, theatrical things. They're not all accurate as far as like maybe how I would do it. But I enjoy the interpretation and then trying to place scripture into a setting that was maybe close to what it was. And I enjoy the disciples. I don't know if you guys enjoy Chosen or not, but I enjoy that. And my favorite episode is still the very first episode when Jesus goes to Mary Magdalene and he says, I'm calling you out of that. And he calls her out of that dungeon and out of that pit of hell into a new life. And it's a picture of what happens in each and every one of our lives. Amen? It's very personal when he comes looking for us. But I would like to turn, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And just for the next couple of minutes, we're going to encourage the men and the rest of you in something that I've preached a lot about this, out of this passage of scripture, and it's something that if you've read through here, the first chapter of 2 Peter, and in fact, if you go a little bit later in the book, not where we're really going, but down around verse 12 to 15, Peter's telling this church, this group of believers, he said, hey, this truth is important because of the truths I've been just telling you beforehand. It's very important, and you already know these things, but I'm going to keep reminding you of them. As many times as I can, I'm going to remind you of these basic truths of who God is. And Peter goes the next step. He says, in fact, I'm getting ready to die. This is the John Summers paraphrase. And I'm going to make sure that those that come after me do the same thing. What's he talking about? So if we rewind and look, let's start reading at verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what Peter's laying out here is, he keeps using words like us and them. He addresses the whole passage of scripture to those, you and me who have faith. What's it take to believe? What's it take to be saved? Faith, number one, right? And then an action on that faith. Faith alone will not save you. Amen? I get a few amens. It's very true. Think about it. An action has to be taken on that faith for it to be real. So Peter's addressing this whole book to Christians, and if you're a Christian here today, he's addressing it to you. He says to those that have the faith, he says, by the way, so I'm paraphrasing a bunch, but you can read it yourself. You can go read it in a bunch of different translations. He's saying, hey guys, good news. Good news. Because you're connected to the Father, you have faith in him. You have access to the divine power of God. And it's for everyday use. To live a godly life right here on this earth. And another bonus on top of that is, because you have a connection to the Father, through the faith that you have, you've been born again, you have connection to the power, you also have access to the divine nature of God. I think Peter's talking about the Holy Spirit, to live in within you, to guide you in this power. So I ask you men, anybody here like power? Any honest men? Who's got a big old, I don't know, Chevelle somewhere sitting there with a big old motor in it, right? Yeah. Anybody want to guess how many horsepower is in my bus? 515. You see, the women could care less, but the guys want to know to the right number how many horsepower it is, right? We're wired. God created us that way. We need power. We like power, right? Power can be construed. Power can be used the wrong way. But power is a wonderful, wonderful thing. You wouldn't hear me today without power. I wouldn't be walking today without energy and power. Amen? We have to have a connection to the power. As dads, as men, if we're not connected to the power, life's not going to go very good. And to illustrate that, I need a couple volunteers. Well, I'm going to do voluntold. So how's that sound? Ken, Merle, and Logan. Where'd he take off to? Oh, he made an exit. Who's going to stand in the place for Logan? We got somebody? How about you in the back right there in the green shirt? Come on up here. There was a brother from my church back home who gave us this illustration a long time ago. And it has to do with trying to do things on your own power and not being able to. So you guys come stand right up front here. And we're going to give you a couple things that we want you to keep in the air at all times, okay? You think you can handle that? So make sure you got enough room. And spread out just a little farther that way, Ken. These are balloons. These are regular balloons. No power in this balloon. If you drop it, it's going straight down, okay? If I can keep it. So each of you are individuals. I'm guessing each of you are probably married, right? Here, there's your wife. Keep it in the air. Keep popping it up in the air. Keep it in the air. You got two hands, you can keep that thing up in the air. Keep it up in the air. Keep it up in the air. There you go. That's right. That's right. Oh, wait, don't you have a job? Come on, keep that one in the air too. Come on. Keep them up in the air. Oh, whoa, Merle. Keep it up in the air. Hey, Ken, you got another one over here. You just got your wife. You forgot your job. It's on the ground. All right. Any of you guys got any kids? Got some children there? I think Merle's got another job, the last I heard. Ken, oh, you forgot about, oh, you got church. See, it's not very possible to keep all these balloons in the air with two hands and no assistance. Amen? This isn't a completely accurate assumption, but these balloons have something a little different in them. They have a partial power. They're not a full power yet. They have a partial power. So if I give you this balloon, you can probably keep it up. Whoops. They'll come down eventually. You see, those balloons, I filled half with air and half with a gas called helium. That is lighter than air. You see, it's an external power that made something different. Thank you, guys. You can go back. It's an external power that can greatly help what we're doing. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to say that God is helium, but he is, in a sense, joining us, right? I didn't know how much to put in there. I did one, and it went up too fast. I said, I can't have them all sticking. We got one of them, a couple of them. They'll come down. Sorry, custodians. They'll be down in a day. Maybe when you put that up, it'll pop them. But I would blow air into it, and then I'd put a little helium in it. Then you can't really let it go. You got to figure out, so you just kind of keep blowing. But God knows the perfect amount of helium that we're going to need. You see, if we don't have any help in all these different things that we're trying to keep in the air, men, stuff starts to hit the floor, and pretty soon we're kicking things, right? And we're running around, where's all our kids at? Where's all my responsibilities? Oh, this one's way over here, and this one's way over here, right? Maybe we needed a whole bunch of helium so he could just hang on to them. But then sometimes we hang on and we don't let go. Amen? And we're supposed to let go at some time and let it fly. The importance of the external power that God has given us is important. Would you agree? Amen. Peter here is challenging. So he's saying, look, this is important that you have this. And it's accessible to each and every one of us. But if you're not using that power, it's not going to do you much good. Let's keep reading in verse 5. He says, but also for this very reason, because you have connection to the power and the divine nature of God, because of this, give all diligence to add to your faith. And he lists a whole list of things. Virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep reading, verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble or fall. Anybody like that? Whoo! That's quite the promise. What do you think, men? If you're connected to the vine, as John talks about, Peter says, if you're using the power of God, well, what is it? It's easy to say that. What's he talking about when he says, add to your faith? You mean it doesn't just happen? I'll give you another quick illustration. About 12, 15 years ago, Kendall and I were down in South Bay Correctional, way down in South Florida, Okeechobee, south of Okeechobee. And we were on the yard doing prison work. That particular prison is split in half. We were out in the yard, beautiful sunny day. And like most men that are incarcerated, when they get a chance to go on the yard, or a lot of them, they're going to work out. And so we were out there on the yard, and we're in their world. They didn't come to us. We went in there. So they're just doing what they normally do. So we're standing there. We're singing. We're talking to guys, praying for guys. But we happened to notice one man in particular. It was a rather warm day. He took his shirt off and he was working out. And brothers, let me tell you, this boy was ripped. I mean, it was impressive. I don't know anything about bodybuilding, but it had to be, that was what you wanted. I've seen on yards, we see guys like that every once in a while, but I have yet to see a guy that was as toned and as ripped as that brother down in South Bay Correctional. We talked to him a little bit, just, you know, being nice, kind, whatever, and asked him a simple question of how often do you work out? I mean, that doesn't happen overnight, does it? He says, well, we have yard 3 times a day for about 2 hours each time, and so I work out 5 hours a day. That's a commitment, right? Yeah. Well, we left there, and I don't know, it was a couple years probably later, I was reading through Peter here. And all of a sudden, you ever have the God make you remember something from the past? And when Peter said, I need you to add something to your faith, God said, remember that guy down there in South Bay? And it kind of had this little dialogue conversation with God. God said, is he a biological man? Yes, I said. And God says, why don't you look like him? Did I create you the same way? He did. If you're a man here today, underneath my layers of skin and extra stuff, is the exact same muscular structure as that brother that was sitting down there in prison in South Bay. But the reason I didn't look like him was because my muscles weren't being used like his were. You see, the purpose of him looking in that perfect V and having his body completely under subjection was so that no one of the other guys would mess with him. But he was fit, right? You see, if I started working out, if he would start training me, my body would start to respond much the same his body responded. We wouldn't look the same, would we? But my body could be toned to be in much better shape than it is. What Peter's saying here when he says the very first little bit, to everyone who has faith, you've been given the same thing. Access to the same power, the Holy Spirit living within you. Now I need you to exercise that power. I need you to make a decision that you're going to use that power in your life. You want the promise of not falling that God allowed Peter to write down. That's quite the proclamation, amen? But he said, if you do these things, morality, that's what virtue is. Know who God is, dig in deeper. Self-control, perseverance, patience, love, kindness. He actually says brotherly kindness. I think that's talking about the church. What do you think? He says if you exercise these things, well, how do we exercise spiritually? Do we pray to God, give me more love? Anybody ever prayed that? I've prayed that. Do we know what to expect when we pray something like that? If you're going to build a bigger muscle, men, what are you going to do? You're going to put some resistance against that muscle, aren't you? If you're a farmer and baling hay, you're throwing bales. The heavier the bale, the better off you are, right? The repetition, that muscle gets sore. It wears out, and it actually stretches and tears. And there's some pain involved, amen? But the proteins of your body, the way God made your body, physical body, is the proteins of your body go to that muscle that's been torn and has had some abuse, and it builds it stronger. Do you think we do some of the same thing spiritually? You say, man, God, I know I need more love for the brotherhood. I need to love better. I need to show more patience. I need to show more self-control. What does God do? He allows you the opportunity to use his power in a situation that is an exercise. Amen? You say, God, give me self-control. Open your eyes. He's going to give you an opportunity to use his power in self-control. Amen? You know one of the big benefits of spiritual exercise in comparison to physical exercise? It's his power. You see, if you haven't entered into the kingdom of God, I tell guys in prison all the time, our world is preaching this exact same thing. Tolerance, love, kindness. But they don't have the giver of the power to achieve those attributes of God. That is only attained through Christ. Amen? But it gives us no excuse, men. We are wired to accept challenges, so I challenge you today. Start a spiritual workout plan. You say, well, I don't even know what to do. Guess what? If you're connected to the vine, you have a personal trainer living right inside of you. And when you pray prayers like, Lord, open my eyes that I may see the next right move. To build a big muscle, it's not about picking up a 100-pound weight. It's about picking up the 2-pound weight to start. And then you go to the 5-pound weight. And then you go to the 7.5-pound weight. You don't just pick up the 100-pound weight and do 100 reps with it, right? You're going to build that over time. And I believe God does the same thing with us. And you'll find yourself. That's why Peter can say that if you do these things. Right before that is a warning. If you don't do these things. He says, if you don't do this, you're going to forget you were saved. And what a place to be. So church, men, are we ready to get on an exercise plan? I already had you exercising this morning physically. I mean, you had to stand up and sit down 5 times. That's good. But allow God to work in your life. Listen. And be willing to get on this exercise plan and let him take that power that he's already given you and start to use it. Power that's stored up in a battery that never gets used isn't doing its purpose. A power tool that's not connected to the wall isn't doing its purpose. If this microphone doesn't receive the power that was stored in these batteries to transmit it through this signal over here to the receiver into the board so that it can go out and you can hear me legibly, it's not doing its purpose. God created you. He gave you the access to the power for a purpose and a plan. And the more we exercise, the more he directs us into our particular plan. We're all better. We all look different. If we go out and play softball or baseball, we're all going to perform a little different, even if we're all in shape. Amen? But it's the beauty of the church when he says, I need you to do that. A spiritual pillar. So be encouraged, men. God's given you more power than you will even fathom. Use it for his glory. Amen? Can I pray with you yet before we close? Lord, thank you for this dear people and this time together. Lord, as we've looked at this scripture, I pray that you would have made it wide open to our eyes. And Lord, not condemning, but encouraging that they would understand what you've given. And Lord, how encouraged you are by their simple obedience. And so, Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, help us to hear when you speak. Help us to see when you move. Lord, give us eyes that we can see the opportunities to exercise. Lord, help us not complain, but to recognize the opportunity to build in your kingdom. Lord, you've already promised us as children of yours, entered in through Christ, that you won't give us more than we can handle. Lord, we know that if we've not accepted you as our Savior, that promise isn't necessarily true. It is more than we can handle. But with you, it isn't. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage these people, encourage ourselves, Lord, as we walk and as we continue in this kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you guys. Luke or brother or the chorister, come on up. Oh, yeah, don't forget the Christmas cards back there. Come pick them up. Lots of CDs. And also, if you ever want to help volunteer, we go all over the place. We could go on forever on talking about, but it's time to close. So come lead us.